Stephanie Chandler is the CEO of the Nonfiction Authors Association, as well as the Nonfiction Authors Association Conference. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you, George. Great to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, why you do what you do.
Yeah, you know, back in 2003, I left the Silicon Valley and I wanted to be a writer and didn't know how to make a living writing. So I opened a brick and mortar bookstore near Sacramento, California, and everyone thought I had lost my mind, but my plan was to write novels in the back office. And I'll tell you, first of all, opening a bookstore is not nearly as romantic as it sounds. And I quickly discovered I was a terrible fiction writer. And I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? And so my friends were coming up from the Silicon Valley because they couldn't believe I left a six-figure job to basically sell $4 paperbacks, right? And they're like, what are you doing? And how do we do it too? And I'm so grateful for that because they inspired my first book. I realized, oh, I can teach and write nonfiction. And I'd always really wanted to teach. I actually set out to be an English teacher. So I wrote my first book. It was a business startup guide. And that led to starting a website and growing the traffic and getting a book deal and signing with an agent and selling some more books. And I was able to sell that stupid store to one of the employees. And then I was doing some consulting on how to write books. And I was speaking at writers' conferences. And I started my own publishing company while I was still under contract with the traditional publishers. And along the way, I'm speaking at all these writers' conferences, and I'm like, why isn't anybody talking to those of us who write nonfiction, right? Most writers' groups, writers' conferences are very fiction-centric, maybe a little bit of children's books, maybe a little bit of memoir. But I went to a conference once where I was the only business book writer out of 300 people. And I thought, well, where are my people, you know?
Right.
So that led to starting the Nonfiction Writers Conference in 2010, and we did that all online. And back then we weren't using Zoom. We were doing teleseminar, George. So if you can imagine, we had people dialing into teleseminar lines live for 3 days straight, and they loved it. And afterward, they would say, how do we keep in touch? And so 3 years later, 2013, I started the Nonfiction Authors Association because they saw a need. There was no community for nonfiction writers. And one thing I love about nonfiction writers, a lot of us are entrepreneurial, but a lot of people really just want to make a difference in the world. And I think that's a really special thing to be part of. And so all of that kind of fueled this twisty, turny path that got me here today.
Nice. What a twisty, turny path indeed. Mildly surprised to hear that you started a bookstore with the intention of writing books in the back room, but you didn't know that you weren't a very good writer.
Yeah, I was a terrible fiction writer. Terrible. But when you spend your whole life wanting to write, like I was the kid on the playground writing poems and, you know, that's what you think you're supposed to do is write fiction. And it turns out you can have writing skills that can be applied to other genres beyond fiction.
When did Amazon become ubiquitous in terms of like self-publishing and stuff like that?
Pretty early on. I mean, I was supporting Amazon selling software to them back in, you know, 2001 and 2002, and started selling books on their website as a bookstore owner. And I would say within the next 5 years, it just became all about Amazon. That's where we believe that somewhere around 70% of all books are sold through Amazon today. And then, of course, they took over their own. They started their own publishing imprint. You can publish directly through Amazon. So I will say most of us authors and publishers have a love-hate relationship with them for a whole bunch of reasons. But they really came on strong very soon in that process.
Yeah. And now we have artificial intelligence as well. So
yeah, it's creating all kinds of issues.
Who would have thought that writing books is is being, for lack of a better term, disrupted and changed so incredibly over a 20-year period.
Absolutely. You're so right about that. And then, you know, back to Amazon, they started the Kindle, right? The Kindle became, and we had eBooks before that, but they weren't widely adopted. So when they brought out the Kindle, and I don't know what year that was, but that they really have led the charge. And now they're trying to keep AI out of books, and it's going to be impossible.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't seem to make any sense that you would try to keep something out that is just kind of everywhere. So, but that's probably a story for another day.
Yes.
All right. So you discovered that you are a wonderful nonfiction writer, and you started a conference and used technology that I wasn't familiar with until just a minute ago. You said teleseminar. So now obviously Zoom is another one of those ubiquitous things. Why are people coming to you today? Why do people come to the Nonfiction Association, Nonfiction Authors Association today?
Because same reason I started it, there's no community for nonfiction writers, and they might go to their local writers group or go to a big writers conference, but they're like, where are my people, right? So writing nonfiction is very entrepreneurial. We have a lot of professionals in our community, speakers, consultants, physicians, attorneys, you know, people at therapists, medical professionals. And so when they go to their little local writers group and everybody's talking about their fantasy novels, they can't even relate, right? So a lot of times they're using a book as a business card to grow the business, or they have entrepreneurial goals around their books. So our community kind of addresses those needs and helps them navigate that whole process from writing the manuscript to getting it published to marketing it and making it profitable, because very few authors make money off books. That's just the hard truth.
And is that is a hard reality? Is that also a hard truth? That does it yes. need to be a truth, or is that just it the way it sort truth. Of is right now?
Statistically, I mean, most self-published authors will never sell 300 copies. It's so sad. So part of what we aim to do is really help authors learn how to market their books and how to use them to get speaking engagements, get media attention, get clients, right? Open doors, build courses around their books, build consulting and coaching programs around their books. So it's so different than what most fiction authors are doing.
Thus, the entrepreneurial opportunities. So folks that are already accustomed to doing marketing, selling, having a clientele, can then use some of those same skills to translate to making money with a book, not just by selling copies of the book.
That's exactly right. And it's really helpful if you have some of that background. Not everyone does. I mean, even a lot of our high-end professionals don't have a background in marketing, right? So they're still having to learn step one, of content marketing and building a website and just putting up Amazon ads, all the things that go into marketing a book.
And I think it's a fascinating thing, because I fall into that category of a professional who has then written books, and you do run into a whole new, it's just a whole new brave new world. What is the point of this kind of a thing? I see immense value in being able to go and have community and bounce ideas off of people who have already done it. And obviously, I'm sure that the association itself provides a lot of programming and content and resources. So I see immense value with all of that. Do most people want to get a book deal and to get an agent?
A lot of people do. And we definitely provide guidance on that. I will say, from my own experience, having been both self-published, traditionally published, I left traditional publishing on purpose because it can be so frustrating for a whole bunch of reasons. You know, generally you'll earn around $1 a book. Publishers, it's a myth that they're going to take on all the marketing. They still want the authors doing the marketing. You lose all control over your work, right? It generally takes them a year to get a book out. I had one publisher call me right before we went to press with my book and say, we want you to remove a chapter. We don't care which one. We need to cut costs. I mean, awesome. What writer wants to hear that?
I don't care which one.
That was super, super disappointing. And I swore I would never let that happen again. So those were, and I've had book covers I didn't like and titles changed. So, and the other thing, George, is people aren't really buying their books in bookstores anymore. So bookstore placement doesn't matter the way it did 10 years ago. So self-publishing has become so much more appealing for all those reasons. But the, I mean, I get it that people want that as a goal. I certainly wanted to be able to get a book deal, and I did it several times, and it's a personal goal that I'm glad I did. But I always say, you don't have to put all your eggs in that basket anymore.
When, if I'm being honest, and you were to ask me, do you want a book deal? Do you want a book agent? I don't know that I've ever really thought about that. And if I were to say yes, it would be out of vanity or some kind of an ego thing, because I like to think that I've written books for the right reasons. I'm interested in getting my message out and I enjoy writing and I want to earn money from the sale of books or use my book to earn money. So is that common?
Yes, that's very common because our motivations are different, right? And so again, with that entrepreneurial focus, if you've been in business for a while, you have the sense that, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to give up control. I don't want to earn a dollar a book. I don't know about you. I'm very type A. Like, I want full control of my content. I don't want anyone to change my titles or tell me to take a chapter out of my book. So yeah, that's very, very common today.
Yeah, for sure. I would be, I would bristle at the idea of any of those things happening. So I would not like that. You earn a dollar a book for the privilege of who knows. All right. So here we are in this 2024, and we've got AI and we've got all the opportunities to self-publish. Is it a good time to be writing books? Is it a good time to be an author?
Always a good time to be an author. It is, in some ways, there are bigger challenges just because of the sheer volume of books being produced now. I mean, it's been estimated that there's 1 million new titles coming out a year, and it's astonishing, really. My experience is that a lot of them still aren't being produced very well. And, you know, from the self-publishing standpoint and as a professional in the business world, you really want high production quality, right? You want excellent editing, great cover design. So all of those factors will help a book stand out above the noise that's out there. And that's also why we need solid marketing plans, because just because a book is on Amazon does not mean it will be found. In fact, it will get buried very, very quickly if you're not driving people to that book.
And all right. So I love a good plan. Let's take a huge step back. Your advice to an author, we need a marketing plan. What are some of these other plans or things that I've maybe never considered or thought about?
From a marketing perspective,
just kind of all of it. I'm
all of it.
Yep. I've written. I've got, you know, an outline of a book. I've done a lot of it, so I'm actually going to do it. I'm not just book curious. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, I will say one of the big mistakes I see authors make is not first identify who's the target audience for the book. So, and you know, this, and it's true in marketing, right? No product is for everyone. No book is for everyone. No business is for everyone. And it's easier to stand out if you really narrow your focus. Life coaching is a great example. I was at this business meeting once, and it was one of those where people went around in a room and introduced themselves. And there were like three life coaches, right? And I help people get unstuck. And then this woman stands up and she goes, well, I'm a life coach for baby boomers who want to lose weight. Well, let me tell you, at the end of that meeting, she was surrounded by people because she had a very clear niche target audience. And I think that's just a great focus for books in general. There's 1 million leadership books, a million start your business books. a million self-help books, how is your book going to stand out and be different than the other books is, I mean, the number one issue to address. And then we take that and figure out, how do you build your platform, common term in publishing, which really just means your audience. So this is why publishers want authors that have a platform, because they know they'll sell books. So your audience is going to come from maybe a high traffic website or a social media following, or you write a column for a big publication, or I love email marketing. Maybe you've got a large email list. Those types of things are what is going to help you sell your book when it becomes a reality.
It makes sense that the publisher would want somebody to have a big audience. That certainly would make life easier. So I'm, of course, kind of making a joke. All right. So it makes more sense to be a life coach for baby boomers who want to lose weight than it is to help people get unstuck. That certainly makes sense to me. Do you have a sense of the costs in time and money to effectively market a book?
Yeah. So the tricky thing about book marketing is, because our profits are so low on books, it's hard to spend a lot of money, right? If you want to go hire a publicist, you're going to spend $2,500 to $3,500 a month, and you will never earn that back in book sales. It's just impossible, unless your name is James Clear or, you know, John Grisham or some big name. So really what I recommend for authors, hire a virtual assistant. Virtual assistants are administrative professionals that work on a contract basis. And you can hire someone for as few as 5 hours a month or 50 hours a month that helps research podcasts and send your pitches out for you, manage your blog content, help with your social media, set up your Amazon ads. And so especially for those of us who are really busy, I mean, there's things that I don't want to do myself that I will procrastinate about because it's not my strength. So therefore, I bring in a virtual assistant who goes out and does the research and pitches me that's how I'm on your podcast. I mean, my assistant found your podcast, sent in the pitch, and that's how it happens. So I think that's the most effective way to start implementing your marketing plans. And, you know, these assistants cost $20 to $80 an hour, depending on their experience. But for a couple $100 a month, to have somebody keeping your marketing wheels turning is so much a better use of your money.
Yeah. Yeah. How much does, I guess it all kind of depends. Do you know how much the average author makes per book if they're self-publishing?
If you're self-publishing and in the nonfiction space, I mean, generally, let's say your book costs $5 to print, right? And Amazon takes 55% off your cover price. So if your book is $20, Amazon's going to pay you $8. I'm not good at math. $8? Hmm. Is that right? And then you deduct your $5 cost, you just made $3 a copy. But if you flip that around and you're out at a speaking engagement and your books cost you $5, you sell them for $20, you're now earning $15 a copy. So when you're selling your own books at an event, maybe you've just done a speaking engagement, you're selling them for $20, it costs you $5 there, you're making $15 a sale. And you're making more when you sell them in bulk, maybe to a corporation or a nonprofit that gives them away, or you know, however they distribute your book. So it's always better to sell direct. You're going to make more money. But also, if you compare that with traditional publishing, let's say you traditionally publish, you earn $1 a book on a retail sale. You want to take your own books to a speaking engagement. Generally, your traditional publisher makes a profit off the author too. So they're going to sell you your own book for $10 a copy. It's infuriating, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think that's the right word for it. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they learn about the association as well as the conference?
Yeah, thank you. Nonfictionauthorsassociation.com and nonfictionwritersconference.com. This is our 14th year. The conference happens every May by Zoom. It's now all completely, it's been online for all these years. And then I'm pretty active in our social media. So check us out on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I love to hear from listeners, and I would love to see some of your folks out in our community.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Stephanie your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Give me the websites again, Stephanie.
NonfictionAuthorsAssociation.com, NonfictionWritersConference.com.
Excellent. We will link all of those in the notes of the show. Check it out. Go to the social media links as well. I will list those in the notes. And whatever stage you are in the process, if you are thinking about it, or if you already have some that are published, but you're experiencing some of the frustrations that Stephanie's been talking about, this could be a great opportunity to get the additional knowledge you need or the support, whatever it might be. Thanks again, Stephanie.
Thank you, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.